Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
In this episode, we are celebrating everything Super Mario Brothers movie and Star Wars. Yeah, that sounds like our topic. It's Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Apathetic Enthusiasm brought to you by Ben Gay. Ben Gay. Save on the ultimate using Android with your Verizon device. Get Razor Edge 5G for free. Shop now at Verizon.com. That's the ad
did,
that's on
did
the...
Did you suddenly get quieter?
Yeah, no, I did get a little bit quieter. It's quieter for me because on the stream, and you'll notice this when you're looking at clips of the videos, I'm much louder than you are in that.
Interesting.
Yeah, much louder than you normally.
Okay, well,
but are you having a hard time hearing me, Travis?
Yeah, you're quiet. I'm looking at the levels.
Yeah,
and your levels are they're about the same now. Hey, everybody, I'm Travis. Welcome to Apathetic Enthusiasm, the show where we talk about our levels, and lots of other things.
Yeah.
If you're new here, thank you for downloading. Thank you for watching. If you want to keep up with the show, there are many ways you can do that over on Twitter for however long it exists. We're at Apathusiast. I am at Jogomino. He is at Barnyard Cruz. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/apatheticenthusiasmshow. Send us an email, apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com. We're on Instagram, apathetic_enthusiasm. And then our website for this and all of our other podcasts is apatheticenthusiasm.com. Talking about levels, talking about streams, talking about video, if you go to twitch.tv/apatheticenthusiasm, you can be part of the show. You can watch the stream. You can participate. You can comment. Be part of the action.
Be part of the action. You should be part of the action.
Do those things. If you're busy on Monday nights, that's fine. You can go to youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm where you can get video versions of all of our episodes. And finally, you can become a patron over at patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm where you can not only get special perks, you can get bonus content, behind the scenes, get videos of our post show if you can't make it out to Twitch.
If you can.
All sorts of stuff. Big thanks to the patrons over at patreon.com. That's it. House cleaning, housekeeping done. That's the podcast.
Spring cleaning.
Have a good night, everybody.
Spring cleaning.
Yeah.
R-E-C-Y-C-L-E recycle. R-E-U-S-C-O-N-B-E-R-S-E-E conserve. Don't P-O-L-L-U-T-E. The plants, the skies, the stars, or streams, or else you're going to get what you deserve. It's from
D-E-A-T-H.
Who?
D-E-A-T-H.
Oh, no, that's not part of the song. That's not part of the song from Rocco's Modern Life.
Rocco's Modern Life.
Anyway, enough of this silly stuff, Travis.
What an obscure poll, man.
How are
you? How am I? How am I? How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing all right.
How are we?
Doing pretty good.
I'm good. I've run so many miles. And I've been in the sun a bunch, so I'm in like a weird form. Like, I feel good, but also I've been punishing my body.
Well, it's almost done. Like, the marathon's almost here,
right around the corner, really. Yeah.
And then once you have that out of the way, then you have nothing else.
Then I'll never walk again.
So that's almost out of your way, and that's good. Like, you'll have gotten that goal out of your system. And now
like how people, get pregnant and then they like talk about things that are unpleasant about pregnancy, and then how like childbirth can be really traumatic, but then as soon as you have the baby, it's like you forget all of that.
Sure.
And then it's like, yeah, just, it's great. And then you have more than one kid. I don't know that running a marathon's going to be like that. I don't. It would have to be real special for me to be like, oh yeah, all the hundreds of hours of running and blisters and foot pain, it's all worth it just to cross that finish line. Yeah, I don't know that that's going to be the case. I do like running. It's fine. Let's not do running in this episode, because we've done it every other episode.
Every episode we're talking about it. I did some splits the other day, and that was pretty good.
Where you like go down and you stick your legs out in different directions. You're doing splits.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's exactly right.
You're so flexible.
Coach Brandon. Bennett was like, "This is all we're doing today. One split."
Stretch out that groin.
Yeah, for sure. Well, yeah, let's not talk about running too much, but I will say
that's what the post show is for anyway.
Yeah. True that. So let's get into really the meat of one of the meats. This is like
so many meats.
It's like a barbecue.
We have the meats.
Yeah. It's like a barbecue, right? You're like, you know, I want to get some brisket, but I also want to get some of these hot links.
Or I smoked 2 chickens yesterday.
There you go. Like, you know, double up on some chicken, or maybe give me some pulled pork with some what are those, like the tri-tip, the tips, just the
the tips, the burnt ends.
Yeah, the burnt ends. Yeah.
That's meat candy right there.
That's so
we're completely losing our vegetarian audience right now.
Let's talk about our two meat special here today on Apathetic Enthusiasm. The first of the two meats.
Two sides, too. Don't forget.
Oh, yeah.
Make sure you pick two sides.
We do have, two sides. But the first of the meats that we have is a movie that is taking the world by storm. It's X-Men, the original film in the mid-90s, starring Halle Berry as Storm. And let me tell you, it blew my mind.
I know you're making a joke, but thinking back to when that was like the pinnacle of superhero films.
Yeah.
What a time.
It's great.
Like, it was great.
I read the novelization. We talked about this on the show before. I've read the novelization of the X-Men movie. Yeah.
No, we're talking about the other big movie, the now highest grossing opening weekend for an animated film. It's the Super Mario Brothers movie. It's out. You can see it in theaters. Maybe you already did, because a lot of people spent money to go see it. It's out. And what do you know? What a coincidence. Brandon and I both went out and saw the same movie on the same opening weekend.
That's a rare occurrence. Let this be a note. That is a rare occurrence that we both see the same new movie on the same weekend.
Yeah, we contributed to that extremely high grossing amount. Do you know what movie it beat for highest grossing animated opening weekend?
Some Disney movie.
Yes, that is accurate.
Yeah, there it is. Some Disney movie. Damn it. I knew the answer, but I brain dumped
it. I'll give you a hint. It's a sequel.
Oh, Frozen 2?
Nailed it. Yeah. Yeah. That you got it. Good job.
Sweet.
The movie about the Mario Brothers came out. We went and saw it. I don't know. Where do you want to start? Did you have any expectations going into the film? Do you have any concerns based on Rotten Tomatoes scores or reviews or anything else going into the actual movie?
Yeah, I think that's a good place to start. Is the Rotten Tomatoes piece, right? So let's go ahead and start with Super Mario movie came out. The critics have given it around a 50%. And then the viewer rating is like in the high 70s, low 80s, maybe. So that seemed to be the discourse over there on film Twitter, you know, while Twitter still exists. Should we call it film titter now? Because that's what's what's funny now. That's what's funny to the CEO of Twitter. Anyway,
no,
sorry. The viewers tend to have liked the movie, and I was tracking it on Twitter. Some folks that we follow, some of our friends, old Chris from Geek Aid, he liked it. A lot of people with kids, they're like, my kids love the movie. And because I looked over at my son or my daughter and I could see the smile on their face, they were having a good time nonstop. And that was part of what made it so good. There was a lot of Easter eggs. There's a ton of Easter eggs in the film.
So many eggs.
And so, you know, I'm like, okay, well, I was hesitant about the movie. Let me go ahead and check it out this weekend. Plus the kiddo wanted to watch it. So figured why the heck not? How did you feel going into it? And I mean, you were going to see it anyway, but how did you go? How did you feel going into it?
Yeah, I mean, I've loved Mario games for my whole life, and sort of raised my son in the same atmosphere. He loves playing Mario games. He's played a bunch of them. We play them together. So he likes the like old 90s animated Mario cartoon. He likes a lot of Mario content. So when the movie was advertised, he was hyped for it. Both of my younger kids were pretty excited to see the movie, actually. And I thought, based on the trailers, that the animation looked really solid. My biggest concern was, will they be able to, I guess, pull a Pixar, right? Because a lot of Pixar animated films, they appeal to a younger audience, but they have a depth to them that can appeal to the parents or the older people that go and see the movie, where they appreciate it because of either more nuance or a deeper storyline. And I really didn't expect that to happen. I expected a pretty basic plot line where Mario would find himself in the Mushroom Kingdom. There would be some sort of confrontation between Bowser and the princess. Mm-hmm. He would have to rescue someone at some point. There would be a bunch of Easter eggs and cool nods to the games. And hopefully just it would be a good time, right? I was hoping it would be fun and a good time in the theater and set the bar pretty low so that I wouldn't be too disappointed if it was a bad movie.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a good baseline from which we both went into the movie similarly. We both went in with, let's just see how it is. It'll probably be fun. I'll probably enjoy it a little bit, and it'll be great. The plot of the movie is exactly what you thought it would be. Mario and Luigi end up somehow, not from like they start off as just regular plumbers, and then they end up into this magical world. Mario ends up in the Mushroom Kingdom, and Luigi ends up somewhere else, which is in the clutches of Bowser.
Yeah, he's like level 7 or something. That's crazy.
Yeah. Like he used the warp pipe and went right to Bowser's castle. Then Mario goes through this kind of like thing where he's like doesn't like mushrooms, and so that's like a kind of a subplot. And eventually
I thought that was funny, actually. Like like early on when he didn't like mushrooms, I don't know, I found that humorous.
He goes on an adventure. He meets Toad, he meets the princess Toadstool, and meets Donkey Kong, and eventually meet back up with Luigi, and then they save the day. The end.
They defeat Bowser, and that's the movie.
That's the movie.
We did it, guys.
We did it. We did it.
I mean, there's more to it, but really, like, when you think about the source material for this film, and there are so many Mario games, and I feel like the movie did do a good job of representing a lot of different types of Mario games. You have the earliest platformers, Mario, like there's nods to Jumpman, the obviously the importance of Donkey Kong in the history of Mario. And then from the earliest platformers to different generations of the game, like there's a lot of representation. Plus you got like Mario Kart. Didn't see a lot of Mario Sports represented. I'm just gonna say it.
Yeah. And where's Strikers? Where's golf? You know?
Yeah. I didn't see any Dr. Mario. I mean,
that's a good point. That's a good point.
Missed opportunity there. But even to a little bit of like Luigi's Mansion and stuff, where like a scared Luigi is on his own, and he wasn't like hiding from ghosts or anything, but they did use a little bit of the area he was in to kind of maybe nod to some of that stuff as well.
Yeah.
And I thought all of that was really great. But when you really peel it back on a lot of those games, they're pretty simple plot lines in the games as well. Princess is in trouble. She's been kidnapped by Bowser. Mario has to go save her. I would say the one way that they spun that in the movie is by making Princess Peach a little bit more like more empowered, more able to fend for herself, and she wasn't just a helpless damsel in distress. She was able to fight alongside Mario and advocate for herself and things like that, which I thought was cool and a little bit different spin, than what we've gotten forever.
And doing her best Super Mario Brothers 2 reference, like floating with a dress, so like those, that's what happens a lot in the movie as far as Easter eggs goes, right? They're like, they're blink and you miss it, or if you don't know the reference, you'll blink and you'll miss it. But sometimes they're like super quick. For example, at the very early in the movie, Mario and Luigi are doing this advertisement for their plumbing company, and it talks about Super Mario Brothers, and they have the cape. They have the yellow
cape
from, right? Super Mario World. Yeah. And that's it. Like then no reference to that again. Lots of things like that, which is really, really cool.
It was funny because my son and I sat two seats away from each other. My daughter sat between me and my son. And there were so many times throughout the movie where there would be an Easter egg and he and I would both catch it and we'd both just silently look over at each other and be like, eh?
Yeah. Like, huh? Like leaning forward, that one, right? Leaning forward, looking at the other and be like, huh? And then leaning back again to watch the rest of the movie.
So the mayor, when she's on the news complaining or concerned about a pipe that's burst downtown, that is the mayor from Super Mario Galaxy, the Switch version, when you have the big city level. Mm-hmm. Same one there. So like, we're like, huh? And even down to just little things, like the way Mario runs, he runs normally, but there's a point when he hits his stride and his hands go out behind him, kind of like he's running. And it's like his fast run. And I like those little things. I feel like the attention to detail in the movie to really honor the original property and bring in as much as reasonably they could from the games. You could call it fan servicey, you could call it whatever you want, but I feel like in terms of how Mario has been portrayed on screen, I thought this was a really, really great execution of all of that.
For sure. How he was displayed on the screen was for sure exactly how it should look. It should look. Mm-hmm. To your point about like the plot and the basic plot of any Mario game, about finding stars or rescuing the Mushroom Kingdom from Bowser. Yeah, I understand that the video games are like that and that they are basically like point A to point B, save the kingdom, right? But I guess for me, I am looking for, there had to have been some ways for talented writers to elevate that, or I say elevate, that's so pretentious, but like make it a little bit deeper, make it a little bit, it's okay to have fan service. It's great to have fan service because there's so much history and lore and music and art and storylines that you can pull from the Mario universe. Super Mario RPG is my favorite RPG of all time. Like there's no reference to like Geno in that, right? But that is a good Mario story. All the Paper Marios, there's not there may have been Paper Mario references in there, but like
I don't remember seeing any of it.
Those are all really good stories. So there's ways to pull Mario stories in and have it be more than just kind of superficial, let's save the Mushroom Kingdom from Bowser type of thing. So that's kind of my thoughts on that piece. Go ahead. You want to go say something?
Well, no, I was just going to agree and say, I think that's my biggest criticism is it played very simple in terms of the plot line in that way. And I think there was maybe like some expectation, like we just know these characters already. So there wasn't as much character development, like within the course of the film. It was just like, let's get to all these cool scenes and cool sequences. And yeah, the biggest character traits we know about Mario is he doesn't like mushrooms and he's self-conscious about his height.
And he loves his brother.
Yeah, there you go. That's Mario.
there you go. And the plot moves very, very fast. And I kind of thought that maybe it went too fast. Like it was always moving. It needs to be like Super Mario World or Super Mario 3, where there's some levels that are, you can take your time, or there's the levels that are pushing you the entire time, right? Like the side scrolling. They're constantly moving. There was very few valleys from which to the peaks would get you excited about the next scene again.
Yeah, like I think the fire flower fields, that might have been one of the only like slower moving moments in the film. Like
when we meet their parents and their uncles at the very beginning of the movie, it's kind of slow.
Sure, a little bit. Another area where the movie takes its time is with the main protagonist, who has always been the big bad of Mario's world, and that is the King Koopa himself, Bowser. And Bowser is portrayed by Jack Black, voiced by Jack Black, who loves to sing. I guess they hit it, I think, a little bit maybe from some of the trailers, but I was not expecting the way that they were going to play Bowser in this movie. I thought he would probably be a traditional villain type, angry, fueled by rage or hatred or a bloodthirsty desire to rule over all of the Mushroom Kingdom. But no, we got a Bowser that was motivated by love. And it's really interesting because this is a Bowser that you see in maybe some of the more recent Super Mario games. That it is the plot of, I think, Super Mario Galaxy, where he's trying to marry Peach, and like all of the mini bosses that you fight are like wedding planners and things like that, trying to set up the wedding, right? But throughout the movie, Bowser goes from this ominous and, you know, scary villain to some of the bigger comic relief, but like in the film, and he's doing, you know, ballads, playing piano, things like that. I don't know. What did you think about that? I thought it was pretty funny. I actually kind of enjoyed it, even though it wasn't what I was expecting. I don't know. What was your take?
Yeah, for sure. I like Jack Black, and with his normal Bowser voice, we could talk about this voices stuff for a second. I was almost like, I'm actually more okay with Pratt's voice than I am with Jack Black's voice, because I always picture whenever I'm playing like Mario Party, it's like, wah, 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 wah. Like,
dump, dump, dump.
Very more bassy. And Jack Black's voice is, you know, he hits those high notes. And there's in some of those ballad portions, he's hitting to, you know, singing about peaches, peaches, peaches. he's really going at it. But
I liked
him. And I think you're right. Like, as far as the comedic relief, a lot of the comedy came from Bowser and his army, all of those things. It didn't come from Mario I think they tried to have that comedy with Mario and Luigi and Donkey Kong and stuff like that, but it never really made me be like, ha, ha, ha. It was more like a, ha, oh, cool. Now, you want to talk about whose real comedy relief is Rosalina Starr.
The funniest part of the whole movie is the existential dread coming from that shining blue star trapped in a cage for the entire movie.
Yeah, the best. Yeah,
I think I audibly laughed more at that character than anything else in the movie.
Yep. Yep. I just wanted to listen to that character just for an hour and a half, and now it would have sufficed.
That was really good.
But I want to talk about we talked about Jack Black singing some ballads, but I want to talk about music for a second, because that's the other thing about this movie, where the Nintendo universe, Nintendo games just have such wonderful, vibrant, lush, full catalogs of music. So much music. And you can go on Spotify right now, I think, and you can listen to a lot of the music that wasn't actually used in the movie, which is that's awesome. I wish that they would have put more of it into the movie, because especially for a Nintendo movie, there shouldn't be popular music drops in a movie where they have music.
Yeah. And I think so many songs from Mario games are as iconic as any other aspect of those games. Generations have been humming and, you know, singing versions of these songs for decades. And so there's a part of me that as soon as there is a moment where characters are in the ocean and underwater, there is music I am expecting to hear. Exactly. And maybe it's reimagined, maybe that melody is sort of played in a different way, or they modernize it with different instruments, whatever. That's an expectation that I legitimately had as soon as I saw them underwater. I saw the little squid guys, and I was like, where's the music?
Where's the music? Yeah.
Did we get a dud-up, dud-up, dud-up? I don't know that we did. There may have been like a slight one,
maybe,
like when they were
maybe slight, but definitely in like the credits.
Sure.
Which, to that point, why was it in the credits? That should be integrated into the film because it's so iconic. Yeah. So they played an AC/DC song. They played a Take on Me by Aha, They played Mr. Blue Sky by Electric Light Orchestra. And I think one other. And again, in a movie, it takes me out of the moment a little bit because I'm like, this music shouldn't be in this. It's music drops in film can be used to very, very great effect. But I think that it is a crutch generally for people to use it. If it's not used in a creative way, we go back to like Baby Driver or like anything Edgar Wright does with music. Like he knows whatever that magic is to use the right music in the right scene at the right time for it to be effective. And I'll say this word for Zach, not Zack Snyder. No, actually the opposite. James Gunn.
James Gunn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I was just going to say like Guardians of the Galaxy often feels like the musical selections play very well with different scenes and carry a theme throughout the film as well. And they it becomes part of the film, right? It makes sense. It's tied into the character of Star-Lord.
Because the lyrics of those songs make sense to what is happening on screen as well. And the music fits as well. So like you talk about like Father and Son by Cat Stevens in Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Like that is thematically appropriate. Or Brandy, You're a Fine Girl, right? It's a sailor in the sea. Like, I love you, but I love the sea more. It's a thematically appropriate. Whereas I love Mr. Blue Sky. It's a song that I associate with my son. And even though I love it, like it doesn't make sense here. It like, how is he Mr. Blue Sky? It's a Mario Brothers movie.
I can agree with you on that. I think the energy of some of the songs they used like matched what they were going for. It just when you're pulling from such a robust catalog, like, and I don't know, maybe they tried some of the original music. And maybe it just felt too much like just trying to remake the video game for the screen or something. Like, I don't know. Like
there's a piece of music for when Aha played that they actually. And we get Chris Randazzo in here to talk about that piece. And he's already tweeted about it. I tweeted about it, too. But there was a piece of music that you can find on the soundtrack that fits perfectly in that scene. It even has the cue. It's Donkey Kong music. It's like a combination of two different Donkey Kong songs. And it fits. That's what should have been in that scene.
Yeah.
And it would have made more sense in it. Anyway, so that's kind of what I'm
studio getting. Producer is probably the reason that we got, you know, classic music and stuff.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Instead of you know, video game remixes.
I'm sure.
So, overall, we both saw the movie.
I do want to bitch about one more thing before we finish.
Please.
I want to bitch about one more thing. And it's talk about Chris Pratt as Mario.
Pratt.
Jack Black. That's fine. I was kind of offended for them giving Charles Martinet, the voice of Mario, such a half-assed, inconsequential voice cameo. It was so quick. It was at the beginning of the movie.
Does he voice Jumpman?
The dude playing the arcade game of Jumpman.
Yeah.
And they're like, because they do the, sorry, I thought I froze for a second. And they're like, I was just
waiting for you to finish.
Oh. sorry. So it's at the very beginning of the movie. They show the plumber commercial. And in the plumber commercial, they're all like, it's a me, a Mario. Blah, 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 blah. And then they finished watching the commercial and then they're talking in regular voices and they're like, yeah, is it too Italian? And then this guy who's playing an arcade jump man is like, no, it's okay. Yahoo! Wahoo. Right?
Wahoo!
And that, yeah. And that's it. That's all it does. Charles Martinet, the voice of Mario. And they just, I'm like, that's what you're giving him? You're giving him that it was just kind of, it kind of bothered me. It kind of bothered me a lot, Travis. I'll admit it.
That's Hollywood, baby.
Yeah. They didn't like, know. it felt insulting to be like, because essentially what it was, it was a call out to, hey, we know that you guys don't like Chris Pratt to do this voice. But hey, here's Charles Martinet doing a cameo saying, no, it's okay. These voices are good. Continue with the movie. That's what it was.
Carry on.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay. Anyways, what do I think of the movie?
Know.
It's mid. It's a mid movie. I enjoyed it. Maybe I'll watch it again. But the kid really, really, really liked it.
Kids loved it. My son, 10 out of 10. My daughter, 7.5 out of 10. I had fun. I feel like the theater that I saw it in, and this is not any fault of the movie itself, but I feel like the theater was really quiet. Like the volume was turned down in the theater, which negatively impacted my overall experience of the film. So that, or I might be losing my hearing. One of the two. Anyway, it was fun. I'm sure I'll see it numerous other times when it's played on repeat in my house. There's a scene when they're running to their first plumbing job that I thought was magnificent, the way that it was directed, as like a side scrolling platformer, nods to the original Super Mario Brothers game. Those moments like that warmed my heart, took me back to my childhood. So in that regard, I'm appreciative of this movie and the fact that it got made. I just won't ever watch it for the plot. I'll just watch it for all the Easter eggs and things like that.
I hesitated to do this, but I want to compare it to Sonic the Hedgehog 2, which I Sonic the Hedgehog 2, there's other than the marriage plot in the middle, which is very not in place. I thought the Sonic the Hedgehog 2 movie was much better as far as like being able to like capture Easter eggs, be like, yes, this is what Sonic is about spiritually. Like this is what his story is, but also be its own story. I'm there. I said it. Sonic the Hedgehog 2 is a better movie than Super Mario Brothers.
That's Brandon's hot take. I don't necessarily agree, but there you go. Let us know what you guys think. If you saw the Mario Brothers movie, let us know your thoughts. You can email us. You can put in a comment on this video. You can hit us up on Twitter. We'd love to know what you guys thought of the movie, what you liked, what you didn't like, right? Let's continue that conversation on the interwebs.
Better movie, Sonic the Hedgehog.
Speaking of better movies, and loose plot lines, there was a big celebration that took place over the weekend. And no, we're not talking about the Easter service you got dragged to. It was the Star Wars celebration in Europe. This is Star Wars Celebration 2023. Lucasfilm's big, exciting party where they talk about all things Star Wars. And for some reason, Indiana Jones. Lots of news came out. This was a multi-day event. What? It's not small. It's big. Brandon is doing a lot of arm movements right now for the audio listeners. I wasn't really tracking in advance Star Wars Celebration happening. I saw a little bit of chatter about it. But starting on Friday, like Friday at lunchtime, the news started flowing and it started hitting hard. And so we're going to break down a couple of news stories that got us excited over the weekend. First and foremost, we've known about this series for a long time, but the new Ahsoka series coming out this August it got its first trailer. And Brandon, I want to talk a little bit about this character, this series coming up, and gauge your opinion, your excitement level on this, or do you care at all?
No, I care. I care. I care about the Ahsoka.
I care Ahsoka, now.
Ahsoka series.
Ahsoka.
It's live action, and so I'll watch it. Let me take it back.
Where are you at on Mando this season?
I watched the first episode. It looks interesting, and I think I know enough about Ahsoka's lore, just having read about it, that
there's no Jedi,
that I am interested in watching a live action version of it. And so, yeah, like I watched the trailer. Thrawn, I knew about Thrawn well before the prequel trilogy even came out. So,
okay,
like because Timothy Zahn, wrote about the Thrawn thing a long time ago before Disney took over the Star Wars universe, right?
And all of that stuff became
legacy,
out of canon.
Yeah, legends, yeah. The legends stuff,
legends.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I know you are a cartoon connoisseur, and so you are interested in it in finishing up Rebels, right?
So the journey I have taken as a Star Wars fan over the last year includes finally watching all of the Clone Wars series, and I'll be honest, there were portions of that series that were really difficult for me to get through. It is structured for kids a lot of the time, although there are so many episodes that are like, if I was a kid, I would have no idea what I was watching. They're talking about, the Senate and, government intrigue and taxes and all kinds of weird stuff and political drama. But overall, without having watched the Clone Wars series and still having not watched all but two episodes of Rebels, my knowledge about Ahsoka as a character was nearly zero. And through the course of watching that series, and especially the last couple of seasons, dang, there are so many cool things in the series. The way that they set up backstories and really compelling stories about the Star Wars universe that end up having almost nothing to do with the main nine films. It really helped me to realize, like, wow, Dave Filoni is like, he's the man when it comes to Star. Like, you got George Lucas and then like you got Filoni. Like, it's and understanding that The Mandalorian and the Book of Boba Fett and everything that's happening in this newer set of live action Star Wars shows is really just an extension and a realization of so many of the plot lines and characters that were developed in those earlier animated shows. Mm-hmm. I have just so much of a bigger appreciation for the new series. And seeing how this trailer for the Ahsoka series ties directly into things from Rebels, and you can see it all over the internet, like almost shot for shot tie-ins of things. It makes me really like motivated to binge Rebels before August so that I can I can like that more. I'm currently in a Bad Batch binge because as soon as I finished the Clone Wars, I started the Bad Batch, and I am loving that show. I think it's fantastic. I really enjoy it. So right. I don't know. And you're like, I don't know that I'll ever watch it, but I think the Bad Batch is great. I think the animation is great. I think the time frame in Star Wars history that as the Empire is just coming into power, like very, very interesting to me.
Yeah. Do you think Andor will be in the Ahsoka series?
Yeah, we'll just have to tune in and find out, Brandon.
We'll just have to see. We'll just have to see if he somehow survived the end of Rogue One. Yeah, okay. All right. So Ahsoka, yeah, that'll be good. I do look forward to watching that. And you're right about Dave Filoni too. Speaking of him, we're at this Star Wars celebration, they announced three different movies that they're in the process of putting together. And one of those is from Filoni, and where he is going to be finishing up this, the Mandoverse is what the kids are calling it.
Sure.
Which is all the stuff, the Mandalorian, Book of Boba Fett, et cetera, et cetera. How do you feel about, before we get into the other two movies, how do you feel about that? How do you feel about live action wrapping up all the stuff from the Mandoverse?
I think it'd be cool.
Do you think there's enough meat? Do you think there's enough coherence or consistency in the products that have been delivered from those universes to have a movie that is doesn't feel just like a cheap extension of the TV show,
like a long episode?
Yeah,
like an overpriced episode.
Yeah,
I think it's possible. I think the things that they're doing right now in the Mandalorian series is some of the most interesting of the series so far, in terms of trying to rebuild the tribe of Mandalorians, trying to bring the different factions of Mandalorians back together, Bo-Katan and how she's been integrated into this season, I really like. So there's a direction that they can move with that. In the same way where I'm really liking The Bad Batch right now, because it's showing this sort of instability of the transition from the Clone Wars into the rise of the Empire and how the Empire is taking control, they are highlighting those same sorts of government and political frustrations in Mandalorian right now, where, you know, a group of rebels now have to figure out how to govern and how to help police the galaxy, because they've defeated this empire, but there's room in, over the course of this show and potentially this film, to really play through a thread of why that's not successful and how the things that are happening in the Mandalorian series open the door for the First Order to come into power. So I think
let my force open the door.
When you watch what's the first movie in the
Force Awakens
sequel trilogy? Force Awakens. When you watch that, Kylo Ren is already a thing. The First Order is already powerful and has a lot of power in the universe. There's no transition into that when we see that film. There's no explanation in cinema, right? Why we go from a party where all these Force ghosts are having a barbecue with Ewoks and everything seems to be good, to all of a sudden now the First Order is in charge and they're back in control, or they're fighting for control. So I think back to your original question, is there something, is there a compelling storyline that can be a movie to wrap up everything that's happening in Mandalorian? I think for me, that would be the compelling story is, and they're hinting at it a little bit with, you know, some of the weird, what seem like one-off episodes. But yeah, like I the answer is yes. Yes, I do think there's something compelling they can tell.
Okay. All right. I believe you. I trust you when you say that there's probably something there, the compelling.
I want you to watch Mando so we can talk about it.
Yeah, you know, I do this for every season of The Mandalorian, where I'm not interested in it. I watched like the first episode, maybe two episodes, and I'm like, it's just kind of a mid show. And then the last couple episodes come on. I'm like, all right, I'm interested in what's happening here, because it's getting past all like, and I think to its credit this season, it's less quest driven. Like it's,
yes, it's, that is exactly why I want you to give this season another shot. Yeah. Is because
it's not your biggest
complaint about previous seasons, I feel like, has been fixed, or at least is way better in this season. I feel like there's a more, the last episode is not a great example of that, but
yeah,
I feel like they're doing better. They're getting our letters.
Yeah. Yeah. The new season is like an actual campaign where,
yeah.
And like this last episode is probably an example of a one shot in the middle of the campaign.
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
And I guess that's always been my thing with Mandalorian, and why I don't care to really explore it too deeply, because it just doesn't appeal to me, and it doesn't feel like a fantastic show.
Okay.
But you know, like I will probably binge it at some point in time. But not for this episode, obviously, because we're recording
sure,
now.
Sure.
But let's talk about the other movies. All right, so we'll get this one out of the way because it's one directed by James Mangold. He's going to direct this one. It is what you have titled the Jedi Bible movie, because it is a movie about the rise of like the first Jedi or something like that.
Yeah, so it's and the reason I call it the Jedi Bible movie is because James Mangold, in an interview at Celebration this weekend, essentially referred to it as that. He wanted to create a sort of Ten Commandments type movie about the origins of the Force in the Star Wars universe. So in terms of the timeline, this predates everything we've seen in Star Wars by a significant amount, right? This is very early initial understanding and discovery of the Force, and then how sort of the Jedi Order and things developed out of that initial discovery, right? So very limited knowledge about what it will be, but I think are they going to talk about midichlorians in this movie? Like, is this?
I mean,
this is my biggest concern. If I'm being honest,
maybe. But if it's a movie about faith, then I think it's going to be less about midichlorians. That will be like a plot for a later movie, maybe in like comics or novelizations or sequel novelizations, where it ends up being eventually this idea where there's faith, and faith takes people so far, and then eventually people start looking for answers scientifically. And so then people are like, well, there's a reason why all this stuff is happening. Let's find the reason for why these things are happening. And some people still have a strong foot in the faith department, and a man of faith, right? And some people are like, well, I'm a man of science. And So maybe like the sequel to the Jedi Bible movie is Lost. Maybe Lost is a Star Wars movie in disguise.
Owned by ABC, subsidiary of Disney. Just saying. I could be interesting. I like that they are being more open to really explore all of the reaches of the Star Wars universe and not feeling like everything has to tie back into the Skywalker saga or things mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. They're feeling and I think the newer like Disney Plus series and things like that have helped this, but where they realize fans are willing and interested in these other aspects of Star Wars. And they're taking some risks.
But yeah,
I think it's interesting.
I like that idea, right? The idea that we're not tied to the Skywalker saga. We're not tied to stories about people named Skywalker.
Yeah. Which is why the third movie that we're getting is a conclusion after the events of Rise of Skywalker, featuring Daisy Ridley coming back as Rey to show how she is rebuilding the Jedi Order out of the ashes of the Skywalker series.
I don't know why I never pieced that together, John. Thank you, John. Champ Champ in the chat. Rey Turn of the Jedi. That's right.
Yeah. It's the Rey Turn.
Yeah. And that's what this movie is going to be about. It's about a Rey coming back and reestablishing the Jedi Order as a Skywalker, not a Palpatine.
Yeah.
Which, you know.
This is fine.
This is fine.
Who's the bad guy in this? Why do I care? Why am I watching?
It's probably going to be a Skywalker who then takes the name of Palpatine at the end.
I don't know. If they come up with an interesting story for it, this is of the three, this is probably the one I'm least like hyped for, but it's probably the one that has the best chance of like redeeming the sequel trilogy. So like, I don't know. We'll see. I have nothing against Daisy Ridley. I think she did a great job as Rey. I don't have a problem with that character for the most part. Like I just.
For me, I think I'm most interested in this of the three because. It's a concept we've talked about before where. Like, get out of the fucking past already. Let's make some new stories, go in new directions. Maybe it didn't have to be Rey, but I am glad that Daisy Ridley is coming back for it because it's kind of like a slap in the face for people who are like, Mary Sue, she's such a Mary Sue. How did she get so powerful? Oh, Kathleen Kennedy, she sucks. Oh, blah, blah, blah. She's ruining Star Wars. And like that type of shit, right? But I'm interested in moving forward and seeing the different directions they take things versus, and I love Andor, you know this.
Oh, I know.
Versus like exploring those stories, like kind of in the middle, like talking about like Knights of the Old Republic, those types of things. Like how does it all tie back to Darth Vader? How does it all tie back to the rebellion? How does it all... There's some good stories there. I do not lie, but I'm interested in which direction we can go. And like that was the interesting thing to me about the Thrawn stuff early on. It was all the stuff that was happening after the Empire fell. And so there were new stories being told there and Luke going on adventures and getting married and then like the kids. Which is part of the reason why the sequel trilogy was interesting to me on its face, maybe lacks some execution, but overall, like it was something different. It was supposed to be something different anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it'll be interesting. I'm curious to see if it is like an end point or if it is opening the door to even more films in the series or things like that, or if they try to do with that. So that's main movies.
Yeah.
Lots of other announcements.
Okay, what are those other ones?
Continuations of series. There's a lot more Disney Plus series. Some things that stood out specifically. No plan for an Obi-Wan season 2 at this point. We did get a, I think 2024 release date for the Andor season 2. So that's coming back in next year.
And each like 3 episodes takes place over a year, I think.
Okay.
So like every 3 episodes is like a year period of Andor's life.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that show likes to work in threes. We kind of tuned in on that a little bit in the first season. The Acolyte, this is a series sort of like early Jedi type action or something going to be happening there, right? So I don't know, could be interesting. Notably absent, the previously announced Rogue Squadron movie.
Yeah.
We got some news that this was probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm kind of bummed about that. It's something I would have liked to see. And then, yeah, we got like Indiana Jones news, which I understand, like it's Lucasfilm, like Lucas is tied to Indiana Jones. It's just weird that in all this Star Wars celebration, you get like really old, like Harrison Ford, Indiana Jones being like, yeah, we're going to go out for one more quest. Did you watch the trailer?
I did.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'll watch it.
It could be good. Yeah. I will watch it because I mean, I really do love Indiana Jones.
I think it'll be better than Crystal Skull. I think. It'd
be hard not to be better. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see. Anyway, there's a couple moments. The last thing I want to mention about the Star Wars Celebration stuff is there are a couple moments of just people showing up, and it felt like the most positive Star Wars event in a long time, where people were like cheering. They were excited to be there. Hayden Christensen showed up and they were like just cheering him on, and he teared up a little bit because he was just like, everyone was like, yeah, woo. And he's like, oh my God, people actually liked me.
We got that in the last celebration too, I think.
Yeah. But like just overall, it felt like a much different experience than what I'd seen in the Star Wars fandom for a while. So
yeah,
just a lot of that cool stuff. And even like, this wasn't at the celebration, but Jar Jar coming back in Mandalorian, and just how the reaction to him, and how like, the Jar Jar thing, it was never his fault. It was never the actor's fault, but he took on Ahmed Best, right?
Like, yes. Yeah.
Took so much of all of that shit for so many years. And it's heartwarming for people to be like, we know it wasn't your fault. We love to have you back because we know that you're a Star Wars fan. And I hope that the guy who played Finn, John Boyega.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like I hope that he comes back. He said he won't come back, but I hope that he does come back for the one with Rey in it, because I think they shortchanged him. And he was a huge Star Wars fan. So, I hope there's optimism here for,
a new hope
for fans to be better.
Yeah. I think there's always going to be issues that exist within the Star Wars fan community, but I think, right now there's a lot of good stuff coming out of Star Wars, and I just think there's a really positive trajectory right now. Say what you will about the House of Mouse and whether you approve or disapprove.
Say what you will.
What Disney is doing.
DeSantis. Say what you will.
They're bringing some pretty good tent they're slinging some pretty good content right now. And yeah, I said it. So anyway, that's our wrap up on Celebration. Yeah, if you kept up with the news, if there's anything that we didn't cover that you found interesting or think we should talk about later on, hit us up, let us know. We will probably keep this conversation going a little bit longer over in the episode post show over on Twitch. If you want to be part of that, make sure you are following us on Twitch so that you know when we go live so you never miss an episode. Or you could always become a patron at patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm and catch video versions of the post show right over there. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks for being a part of this. Look at that. We had two topics. We stuck to the two topics.
We did.
Who'd have thought? Not me.
Not me.
Anyway, thank you so much for listening. And until next time, I'm Travis.
And I am Brandon. Thank you all. Follow us on Twitter, Barnyard Cruise, Giacomino, at Apathusia.
Follow him.
He does so much stuff. So much content.
Like that tent.
Stupid. Very stupid. It's not stupid. No, I said.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.